Today's daf is Psachim daf Nunhei, and we are at the very top of daf Nunhei Amid Aleph, the two dots, ubechol makoim tamidei chachamim v'chulu. Today's daf is being learned as a schos refuah shalema. V'shlomo ben Sara Aliza, Avadya ben Miriam Leah, Dvoru bas Mecha, Shmuel ben Tehila, Tova Rivka Esther bas Hensha Genendel, Bruya Chana bas Bracha Rivka, and Doiv Beryl ben Dvora Miral. Today's daf is being learned as a schos for Yecheskel Shraga ben Miral and Le'ilu Nishmas, Avram ben Yibodol Chaim Toivim, Reb Moshe Chaim. So we're continuing to discuss the idea of Minhag. The Mishnah gave different examples of Minhagim, some of which related to Pesach, others very much did not. As a result, we've had a little bit of digression in Perek Makim Shenagu. The last Mishnah that we learned discussed different minhagim in Klal Yisrael as it related to doing melacha on Tisha B'Av. The Mishnah said there were places where the minhag was to do melacha on Tisha B'Av. And if you live in a place like that, you could do the melacha. There were places that the minhag was not to do melacha on Tisha B'Av. And if you live in a place like that, einoisin, you're not supposed to. The Mishnah then said, ubechol makoim talmidei chachamim b'teilim. But regardless, a Talmud Chacham who is able to fully appreciate what it means to mourn the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, a Talmud Chacham, it doesn't matter what type of city he lives in, even if his landsmen are people that go to work on Tisha B'Av, he himself should not. Then Reb Shimon Gamliel Omer, Reb Shimon Gamliel concluded the Mishnah by saying, Lo'olam yasa adam atzmei Talmud Chacham, that a person should treat himself like a Talmud Chacham, and if a Talmud Chacham doesn't do malacha on Tisha B'Av, even if he lives in a place where the minig is to do malacha, anyone, even not a Talmud Chacham, should strive for more, and he should act as if, fake it until he makes it. He should take on the minhag of a Talmud Chacham. Says the Gemara, it would seem that Reb Shimon ben Gamliel is of the opinion that you don't have to worry if you're not a Talmud Chacham to behave like a Talmud Chacham, meaning you don't have to be concerned that maybe it's going to come across as gaiva. Because if someone's a Talmud Chacham and he acts like a Talmud Chacham, mimela. But if someone's not a Talmud Chacham and he acts as if he is, could be from a Hilchas Midos perspective, that's the wrong thing to do. From the fact that Reb Shimon Gamliel said, Lo'olam yasa adam atzmei Talmud Chacham, it would seem that Reb Shimon Gamliel holds, we're not worried about you, Ara. You don't have to be concerned that even if you're not a Talmud Chacham, by acting and behaving like a Talmud Chacham, maybe it's going to come across as gaiva. V'rabbanon Zavri, the Rabbanon, who weren't mentioned mefurish in the Mishnah, but implied from the Mishnah is that it's only Reb Shimon Gamliel that said, La'olam yasa adam atzmei Talmud Chacham. It seems that there's a Rabbanon sheet that the majority of the Chachamim disagreed. They felt it's not the right thing to do, probably because they're chayshim l'yuara. They feel there's an Indian of yuara. So just because you want to act like a Talmud Chacham doesn't give you a license to do that. The problem is that there's another machlokes between Reb Shimon Gamliel and the Chachamim in Mishnayis, and from that machloikis, it would seem that they took the opposite positions. The Tanam we learned in the Mishnah, Chasson, Yirtzalikris, Kriyash, Malay, Loharishoin, Kaira. The halach is that a Chasson is potter from saying Kriyashma the night of his wedding. The reason is because he's tarud about the mitzvah of the Bila Rishoina. As a result, he won't be able to concentrate, and Kriyashma, the very least, the first pasuk of Kriyat Shema requires kavana. As a result, a chasson, it's assumed, can have kavana, and it's for that reason a chasson is not supposed to say Kriyat Shema. However, if somebody's chashuv, he's allowed to say Kriyat Shema. And there was a machlokes Reb Shimon Gamliel and the Chachamim. What about someone that's not necessarily chashuv? Is he also allowed to recite Kriyat Shema the night of his chasson? I mean, can he say that no, I'm the type of person that even though I'm distracted, still I'll be able to have the proper kavana or not? So the Chachamim said, if the chasson wants to say Kriyat Shema, he can't. Reb Shimon Gamliel, Reb Shimon Gamliel said, Loikal Reitz Lita Sasham Gito. It's not a hefgervel. You can't just go ahead and take the shame. Rashi says, what does that mean? Keser Prishus V'yiras Chet. So we're familiar with Keser Malchus, Keser Kahuna, Keser Shem Toiv, there's a Keser Torah. This is the Keser, the crown of Prishus and the crown of Yiras Chet. But either way, you're going to act as if you're such a parish, you're such a person that's removed from the taivis of this world that you're able to have this kavana. It doesn't work that way. So what's the stira? In our Mishnah, Reb Shimon Gamliel said, La'olam yasa adam atzmei Talmud Chacham. I'm not worried about you, Ara. When it comes to Kriyishma, Reb Shimon Gamliel said just the opposite. A chassan that wants to say Kriyishma the night of his wedding is not allowed to. The Chachamim in our Mishnah seem to say that it's not okay for a person to just go do malacha or not do malacha on Tisha B'Av and act as if he's a Talmud Chacham. Yet the Chachamim in the Mishnah, as it relates to Kriyishma, said that if you want to say Kriyishma, you can't. can't say Kriyas Shema. It would seem to be a stira both in Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel and in the Chacham. Rabbi Yochanan said the first teretz, Mechlavas Hashita. You have to do a switch. Meaning, you have to either swap Rabbi Shimon Gamliel and the Chachamim's opinion in our Mishnah, or swap Rabbi Shimon Gamliel and the Chachamim's opinion in the Mishnah Masechtas Brachas. But one of these two machloikas are inaccurate, because otherwise there would be a stira both in Rabbi Shimon Gamliel and in the Chachamim. So just move around the name. So like this, it's not a stira, but to the contrary, the two opinions are matim. He said, there's no reason for you to have to do this. It's always a doichik to stop playing around with gersois, especially in a Mishnah. A brisa, by the way, is one thing, because we know the brises weren't edited nearly as well as the Mishnah is. So if you want to do a ipcha, or a muchlefes ashita, or a chasure mechzer of a hachik tani and a brisa, so that's something that you can do. But to do it in a Mishnah, it's always considered very, very much a last resort. So Rav Shishi Breit Ravidi said, I don't think you have to do that. I think there's a way to reconcile Rav Shimon Gamliel's opinion, why in one place he is worried about Yorah, the other place he's not. Additionally, to reconcile the Shita of the Chacham. Zokhtim at the Rabbanon, like Kashno, as it relates to the steer in the Rabbanon. Again, what's the steer in our Mishnah? The Rabbanon seem to be worried about Yorah. If you don't want to do work on Tisha B'Av, doesn't matter. You have to do work anyway. When it comes to Kriyishma, a chassan wants to say Kriyishma, he can't. It's a steerer. They said, Hachan, over here, keeping the Kuliyama Abdi Melach, Iloy Abdi Mechsekura. Over here, you're going against the traffic, right? You're going against the grain. Everybody's working. You're not going to work. Oh, you're not working. You stand out. It's Mechsekura. Aval Hassan. But a chassan, the night of his wedding, what is he going to do? He's going to say Kriyishma. Everyone's saying Kriyishma. Keeping the Kuliyama Kari, Iunami Kari, my Mechsekura. He's not standing out by what he's doing. And being that what he's doing is what everybody else is doing, so there's no reason to view that as yours. Rav Shimon Gamliel, Rav Shimon Gamliel, like Hashem. Rav Shishi Breit Ravidi continued, and he said the stira in Rav Shimon Gamliel, that Rav Shimon Gamliel is also not a problem, because Hashem over there, who to be in Kavanah. As it relates to Kriyat Shema, you have to have kavan. Vanan sahadi toli motzi kavni daite. We know it's impossible to have kavanah. If that's the case, mechzikiyora. Meaning, if someone is saying Kriyat Shema at the night of his chasana, there's no question. The only way to interpret what's going on over here is that this person just took upon himself the keser of Prishus. He took upon himself the keser of Yerashe. There's no other way to interpret the data. There's no other way to analyze what's going on over here. It's 100% Mexican Yura. That's a problem. Abul Hocho, in our Mishnah, what's this person doing? He's not working. By not working, that's necessarily Yura. Lav dafka loy mechzik yura, because Ami, you can always say malachi with the lesson like puk chazi kamen batlani ikav shuga. It's not like he's the only person that's not working. There are other people that are also not working. Now those other people are not working because they're mourning churban beis hamikdash. Those people are not mourning simply because they don't have work. But at the same time, being that there are other people that are not working, so the fact that he's not working isn't necessarily yura. It could be it's yura. That's one way to translate what's going on in front of us. But or it could be he doesn't have a job, or right now he's just quiet and as a result, he's not going to work. But being that it's not muchach for sure that it's going to be Yura, since for that reason it's not going to be the easy way. The Gemara said, Svaris, as it relates to Yura, you could look at it one way, you could look at it another way. This is an interesting idea, something that we've spoken about in the past. Most recently, we mentioned this when the Gemara talks about this in Masechtas Brachas, Daf Yud Zayin, and that is when it comes to Chumras, you find sometimes there's a concept of Mechzik Yura, and sometimes where there is no Indian of Mechzik Yura. I think when we learn Masechtas Brachas, for sure when we learn Masechtas Chulin, we mentioned two tshuvas from Rav Moshe, two very famous tshuvas from Rav Moshe Feinstein. One is with regards to Chol of Stam, and the other one is with regards to sherry cask whiskey. Two quite well-known tshuvas. And in both of those tshuvas, Rav Moshe paskin that it's mutter, mi'ikar adin, but at the same time, he spoke about being machmer. And if you go through Lashon HaYazav, so Rav Moshe Feinstein in both of those tshuvas, when it came to sherry cask whiskey, Rav Moshe felt that if someone's machmer, it's mechzik yuaro. If you look up the tshuva that Rav Moshe wrote, the famous tshuva about Chol of Stam, he writes that Bal Nefesh should be machmer, and he says clearly there's no inyan of mechzik yuaro by being machmer. What's the difference? So we spoke out some svaris offline at the time that we learned it, but for now, we go weiter. Sok the Mishnah weiter. So we're going to return now to the opening line of the parak, and that is Mokem Shenago, specifically Lasnis Melacha Ba'arvei Psachim Ad Chatzois Oisim Mokem Shenago Shaloi Lasnis Einoisim. So from Chatzois and on, you're not allowed to do malacha. That's not a question. However, there were different minhagim in Klal Yisrael as it relates to Erev Pesach up until Chatzos. There were places where they did work, it's mutter. And there were places that had taken upon this chumrah, this minik, not to do work. This is obviously related to Masechtas Pesachim. And once we mentioned this halacha, which is negeya minhagim, so we had mishnah after mishnah, digression after digression, different cases where it's negeya, this halacha of minhagim. But we're returning now to the original halacha, and that is doing malacha on Erev Pesach from the morning up until Chatzos. When the Ikra then it's okay, but there were mekaymos. There were places that were machmer, and there were other places that were not machmer. Says the Mishnah, the Chachamim say, in Yehuda, ha-yoyisim malacha b'arvi p'sachim ad Chatzos. They used to do malacha Erev Pesach until Chatzos. U'begalil, in the northern part of Eretz Yisrael, lo ha-yoyisim kol ikar, over there they didn't do malacha. Meaning, it sounds like what the Mishnah is saying is that we mentioned there was Makam Shanagu Lasseis, there were Makam Shanagu Shalai Lasseis, so we're just putting a face to the name. We're just putting names of cities and regions in Eretz Yisrael to the Mekaymos. Meaning, in Yehuda, they used to do Malacha until Chatzos, and in the Galil, they didn't do Malacha. Halaylo, what about the night before? Meaning, Arlar Ba'asar, when you're Baitkin Asachomets, what about that night? Are you allowed to do Malacha then? A place where the minig was not to do Malacha. What about Laila? If the minig was to do malacha in the morning until Chatzos, of course you could do the night before as well. But what about if you're in a makom where the minig was not to do malacha? So how do you treat the night before? B'Shamay said it's a problem. You can't do malacha. B'Sol Matirah Adonai Tzachama. B'Sol says no. The Isser malacha for such mekaymos starts not even by Alois Hashachar, but it starts a little bit later. It starts by Neitzachama. Zok to Gemara. Akasha. This Mishnah, again, revisited the halacha of doing malacha Erev Pesach up until Chatzos. And from the beginning of the Mishnah, it sounded like it's a minig, which is what the first Mishnah in the Perek said. The Chachamim Oimrim, B'Yehuda Hayoysim Malacha Barvi Pesachim Ad Chatzos, U'Bagalil Loi Hayoysim Kolika, right? Makim Chenago, Makim Shaloi Nago. It sounds like it's a question of a minig. Ula B'Soif, the end of the Mishnah used the word Aser. Halayla, B'Shamay Oysim. Aser? That's a very harsh word. We're dealing with minig at the end of the day. So good, Shema b'ni musar avicha, ve'altite shteres imecha, but the word isser sounds like this is a real bona fide isser. So what is it? Is it a minig or is it an isser? Am Rabbi Yoich tell the kasha. Or Rameha Rabbi Yehuda. There's really two opinions amongst the Tanakh. Up until now, we've been taking for granted that this was all a matter of minig. But the truth is, it's not so simple, Rabbi Yoich said. The Tanakh learned to the Brice, Am Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda said, Rabbi Yehuda the Tanakh, that Bi Yehuda, in Yehuda the region, they used to do malach Erev Pesach until Chatzos. But Galil ain't nois and kolik, like the Mishnah said. Amalei Rameir told Rabbi Yehuda, my raya Yehuda v'Galil l'kan. Why are you mentioning Yehuda v'Galil? We know there were places that they did and there were places that they didn't. Elo said Rameir, makom shenagu lasis malacha oisin, makom shenagu shaloi lasis ain't oisin. Don't get involved with Yehuda and Galil. Rather, a makom where the minig was to do. Yeah, no. There's no reason to single out any specific regions. Now this machloikis Rameir Rabbi Yehuda. There's obviously some machloikis, is a little ambiguous. Like, what exactly are they arguing about? Doesn't sound like Rabbi Yehuda said anything so terrible. He just singled out and identified different regions in Eretz Yisrael where they had different customs. But Rameya had a problem with it. So the Gemara says like this, Midakam Rameya min Hago. And the fact that Rameya, in his response to Rabbi Yehuda, said, Mokim shenagu lasis oisin, Mokim shaloi nagu ein oisin. You know what it sounds like? Mechlad Rabbi Yehuda Yisura Kamar. It sounds like Rabbi Yehuda was probably saying Isser. Notice Rabbi Yehuda never used the word minig. Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Bi Yehuda haya oisim alacha mar v'psachim ad chatzos, u'begalil ein oisim kol liker. Never used the word minig. Rameir said, Makam shenagu lasis malacha oisim. Makam shenagu shaloi lasis ein oisim. So said Rabbi Yochanan, you know what I think is going on here? I think the machlokes from Rabbi Yehuda is not just, why did you mention Yehuda v'galil? It's totally a mekaymos anyways. No. What's going on here is a real machloikis, major. Rameir is being mechadish that this is a question of minig. Rabbi Yehuda holds Isser. What does it mean, Isser? Of course, it's an Isser Chazal, and it's not an Isser that necessarily is Nogeya every area, but at the very least, in Galil, where they didn't do malacha, they didn't just not do malacha as a minig, they didn't do malacha as an Isser. As we mentioned earlier in the week, the Ratebite from the Brisker Rav and Sefer, that there's a fundamental difference between a mitzvah slash isser versus a minig. So Rameir held in Galil, these places that they took upon themselves, this idea not to do malach erev Pesach up until Chatzos, they didn't do it as a isser, they did it as a minig. Whereas Rabbi Yehuda was an isser. The bottom line is, said Rabbi Yochanan, as it relates to our Mishnah, there seems to be contradictory implications. Are we dealing with a question of isser, midrabanan of course, or are we dealing with a question of just a minig? Said Rabbi Yochanan, it's true, there's a stira. One part of the Mishnah is going according to Rabbi Yehuda, he held Isser. Another part of the Mishnah is going to Rabbi Meir, he held Minik. Is it true that Rabbi Yehuda holds that on the 14th day you're allowed to do Malacha? What do you mean? We just said Rabbi Yehuda is the one that said Isser. No, what the Gemara means is in Galil, in the places that they didn't do Malacha, over there they didn't do it not only because of Minik, they didn't do it because of Isser. But Rabbi Yehuda acknowledges that there were parts of Eretz Yisrael where they did do Malacha, such as in Yehuda. Meaning, it's not an Isser that encompassed the entire land, but rather there were places that had this isser imposed. But it's something that be'etzem is mutter. Because if it's something that really is usser, then even in Yehuda it would have been usser. So the Gemara says, is that true? Can Rabbi Yehuda hold that at the very least in Yehuda you're allowed to do malach on arba asav atanya? But we learned in a braisa, Rabbi Yehuda said, ha-menachesh b'shloisha asav. If somebody was working in his field on the 13th day of Nisan. Specifically, he was weeding. So he was pulling things out of the ground that don't belong there. And accidentally, he pulled out a vegetable that does belong in the ground. He pulled out wheat that he really wants in the ground. So what would be his instinctive reaction? He would put it back into the ground. So it says, Rabbi Yehuda in the Braisa, be careful. Make sure that when you put it back into the ground, so where should you be? Right? Where should you stick it back into the ground? In a place where the dirt is wet, in a muddy area. But don't put it in a place where it's dry. Why? The reason is because if you're going to put it in a dry area, what's going to happen is it's going to take a few days until it takes root. And if it takes a few days until it takes root, and it doesn't take root until after Tezayin Nisan. Remember, this is Yud Gimel Nisan. And it doesn't take root until after Tezayin Nisan. So then the Karban Omer, which was matter the Tuach Hadashim, wouldn't be matter it. So said Rabbi Yehuda, I'm just giving you an Eitz HaTovah, some good agricultural advice. Now, when you're working in the field on Yud Gimel Nisan, be careful. If accidentally you pull a piece of wheat out of the ground and you want to stick it back in, put it in a place where it's going to take root before the Karban Omer. So like this, the Karban Omer will be matter it when it's matter all the Tuach Hadashim. Because if you're going to put it in a dry pot of the land, the carbon number won't be moderate. If it's not moderate, you're going to have to wait a full year until you're going to be able to benefit it. That's not good. Now, Rabbi Yehuda's muscle of where this is going to play out is if somebody's working the field on the 13th day of Nisan. So says the Gemara, Geshmake Kasha, Shloishos Imbar Basolai. Doesn't it sound like that only on the 13th, not on the 14th? Okay, it's a lot. Let's see. Mech. Immediately, Rabbi Yehuda, we have another Rabbi Yehuda, the Amar, who said, that the maximum amount of time that it could take for a plant to take root in the ground is 3 days. Okay, with that information, if Rabbi Yehuda holds that you're allowed to do malacha, even on the 14th day of Nisan, there were places that it was asr. But other than those places, really, it's mutter. Why did Rabbi Yehuda have to say that this story took place on the 13th day of Nisan? The Karbeser could have happened on the 14th day of Nisan. You would have the same malacha. You're working and you field on the 14th day of Nisan, before Chatzos. You pulled this piece of wheat out of the ground by mistake. You were weeding. Accidentally, you took this out. Okay, put it back in the ground and make sure it has the opportunity to take root for 3 days. And you could do it. You know why? Because you have the 14th day, the Chamesa, the 15th day, Umiksa Shitzer, and a little bit of the 16th day. Miksa Yom Kukuloi. So you'll be able to make this work. So why did Rabbi Yehuda have to say that the story happened on the 13th? Yehuda's telling me a halacha. He said, you know what? Halacha is negeya. You're working the field on the 13th. Why not the 14th? Based on the halachas of Karban Omer and all the agricultural boxes that need to be checked off, this could have happened on the 14th, just like the 13th. Or must be, because Rabbi Yehuda holds, you're not allowed to do malach on the 14th day of Nisan. The problem is, we just saw Rabbi Yehuda said only in Galil they didn't do malach on the 14th day of Nisan. And it could be in Galil, it was asr, it wasn't just a minute. But at the same time, in Yehuda it was okay. So what's the problem? Zok the Gemara, Amar Rabbi Begalil Shanu, nice kasha, but there's an easy answer. Maybe this halacha that Rabbi Yehuda was saying was negay the people in Galil. In Galil they didn't do malach on the 14th, so it's only negay in the 13th. And Chinami, if you live in Judea, some region in Eretz Yisrael where the minhag is to do malacha, gevaldik. His halacha can be again the 14th as well. Still, what about the night before? Right, Bishamai said, that in Galil or any place they didn't do malacha on Erev Pesach up until Chatzlis, they also didn't do malacha then at night. But so was matir and adanei tzachama. So you could always do it or la arba asna. Rav Sheish says, kibei shamai. Sheish said, maybe Rav Yehuda is going to be shamai. You can't do it the night before either. So it's only the day on the third. Rav Ashim will have no reason to say Rav Yehuda is going to be shamai. But rather, if you change darkish of neyadam lenachish balayla. It's just, well, we're not talking about at night. People don't usually work in their field at night. Rav Yehuda, malayla, be Yehuda. Really, maybe it's talking about in Yehuda. Meaning a place where Rabbi Yehuda holds that it's mutter to do malach on Erev Pesach. What's the kashan? So why the story have to be on the 13th? Why can't you teach me the same exact halach on the 14th? The reason is, because b'hashrasha, when it comes to determining how much time a plant needs to take root, we work with mikzah sayoyim kekulay. However, chad mikzah sayoyim kekulay amrinan, trei mikzah sayoyim kekulay lo amrinan. You need at the very least 2 full days, and then a mikzah sayoyim in order to assume that this plant is going to take root. So if this happened on the 13th, so then you would have the 14th, the 15th, and a little bit of the 16th. You have the mikzah sayoyim. But if it happened on the 14th, you wouldn't have your 3 days. Why? Because the 14th, at whatever time during the day this happened, you only have a mikzah sayoyim the rest of the day. You have the entire 15th, and then you have the mikzah sayoyim of the 16th. So being that you're stuck with the mikzah sayoyim, and the mikzah sayoyim is not going to work times 2. 1 mikzah sayoyim you could use, but you can't use 2 mikzah sayoyim. So it's for that reason that Rabbi Yehuda said as halacha with regards to someone that was working in the field on the 13th, because that's where it's negeya. Do it over here, don't do it over there, because that's where you'll have the threat. Otherwise, you're not going to have the 3 days anyway. So it's a moot point, this whole halacha. And that's why he said a dafka as it relates to Yud Gimel, not as it relates to Yud Das. Look to Mishnah Vayit Rameh, Yom Rameh, said, come halacha, shizchobal kaidim larba asa, any malacha that a person started doing before Yud Dalet, goymer barbas, and you're allowed to finish on Yud Dalet. However, you're not allowed to start doing malacha in the beginning of Yudal. Now, obviously, Rameh is referring to a place, such as Galil, a place where the minig was not to do malacha on Erev Pesach. So said, Rameh, what does it mean? You can't do malacha on Erev Pesach even before Chatzos. So again, Rameh says that if you started doing it already, you're allowed to complete it. What it means is that you're not allowed to start from scratch. Even if you'll be able to finish, doesn't matter. You can never start. That's what it means. Chamim said, there's 3 types of jobs that you're allowed to do on Erev Pesach. A tailor's allowed to work Erev Pesach until Chatzos. Someone that gives haircuts. A launderer, even someone that makes shoes, a sandalar. So Rameh started off with a very important caveat. Talk about reading the fine print. Until now, we're talking about there were places where there was a minig that they didn't do malach Erev Pesach up until Chatzos. Kumtz again, Rameh, and he says, no. It means you're not allowed to start doing malach. But if you're in the middle of doing something, you're just wrapping something up, you're finishing, that's something that you're allowed to do. But the Gemara had an ibaya trying to understand Rameh's shita. The tzarech hamoyetna, when Rameh said that you're allowed to finish doing malacha Erev Pesach before Chatzos, even if you live in a place where the minig is not to do malacha Erev Pesach until Chatzos, did he mean only if that malacha is l'tzorech mayit? But if what you're doing is not for yontif, maybe you can't even finish it. Or maybe he was talking about faker. Dafka where it's shaloi l'tzorech hamayit. Avol l'tzorech. But if you're doing malacha l'tzorech hamayit, aschulam aschilin. Maybe you could even start doing a malacha erev pesach. Oido, you had a third time. Bein l'tzorech hamayit. Bein shaloi l'tzorech. Nigmarin aschuliloi. Maybe Rameyer didn't think there's any difference when it comes to this halacha between doing malacha l'tzorech hamayit or shaloi l'tzorech hamayit. And either way, Rameyer was saying the halacha that if you want to start something, you're not let it start it. If you want to finish it, you can't. So the Gemara had 3 possibilities how to understand Rameyer's statement in the Mishnah. Rameyer is discussing a place where the minig is not to do malach on Erev Pesach even before Chatzos. And Rameyer made a major distinction. He said only starting malach is a problem, but to finish something that you had previously started, that's going to be okay. So the Gemara says, what are we talking about? We're talking about only Tzarech HaMayit? We're talking about Dafka Shalei L'Tzarech HaMayit? Or maybe we mean Sai where it's L'Tzarech HaMayit or Sai where it's Shalei L'Tzarech HaMayit. And this next Gemara that we're going to learn is a classic example of where you have a Mishnah that was written very sasum, la'olam yishana adam l'talmidei b'derech k'tzara, like Rav said on Daf Gimel Amud Beis, Masechtas Pesachim, and the Gemara is going to bring brises that said the same thing that the Mishnah said, albeit in a wordier way, and we're going to try to see if there are brises that said the same halacha, benusach achar k'tzas, that can give us a little bit of insight how to understand this Mishnah. First, Bryce. Tashma, avalo yaschu betchila barba asar. You're not going to start doing malacha arba asar. This is Rameir talking. Afilu tzilzul katan. Even if what you're making is a small little gartel. Afilu svacha knana. Even a little something that women used to put in there. Here, now my afilu. What's unique about those things? Afilu hanigla tzarech hamoy. Probably what's special about those things are, these are things that are being used from yontif. I mean, this is the type of malacha that you need. You're preparing clothing for yontif. And what does it sound like if Rameir said is halacha regarding something that you need for yontif? So you see from here, migma mil, aschulei loy, that even if it's tzarech hamoy, you're allowed to finish it, but you're not allowed to start, right? You're not allowed to start from scratch, even if it's l'tzarech yontif. Michlal, what do you see from there? If it's not l'tzarech yontif, you wouldn't even be able to finish it. So it seems clear from this braisa, says the Gemara, that Rameir's halacha was talking dafka where it's l'tzarech yontif. Because if it's not l'tzarech yontif, you can't even finish it. The Gemara says, loy. Maybe really shaloi letzayrich migman ami gamrina. Maybe even if it's not letzayrich yontif, you would be able to finish it. My afilu. What then did Ramey mean when he sent afilu? We assume the afilu means afilu letzayrich hamoy. Right? The price didn't say letzayrich hamoy. It just said afilu tzol kot and afilu svach lektana. What's so special about that? Oh, probably because it's letzayrich yontif. No, afilu hani nami de zutrin. You know what's special about those things? They're very small. So good. I would have thought, being that it's so small, has chalas and zuig marim lachtam. Maybe starting it is like finishing it. So nas pechunami lekatchila. I would have thought you can start it kamash from when you can. But it could be that Allah Mishnah is not talking about dafka letzorich moed. Maybe it's even shaloi letzorich moed. I in the brisa a filu things that are letzorich. No, it's not a filu things that are letzorich moed. A filu small things. What? Even small things you're allowed to finish, but you're not allowed to stop. Okay. So this brisa we thought maybe shed a little bit of light on Rameir. But really, it didn't work. Dr. Gemara Tashma is another bracer. Any malachim that you do, letzorech hamoy. Now we're talking. Letzorech hamoy. Doesn't say afilu tzulzul, right? Letzorech hamoy. So what's the halacha? Goymer barba asar. You're allowed to finish it on the 14th. They must say, bismanche hischa b'koydim barba asar. That's only true if you started before the 14th. But lo hischa b'koydim barba asar. If you didn't start before the 14th, lo yaschuba. You can't start it, barba asar, on the 14th. Afilu tzulzul katan, afilu svacha ketana. Okay, this is Rameir's halach in the Mishnah, and it adds the knetch that Rameir said in the first braisa, even a tzilzul katan, even a svach ketan. But what do we need? One thing. Here it's clear. Rameir started off on the bottom of the yamin. Kol malacha shehi letzorech hamoyed. So what does it sound like? Letzorech hamoyed in, shaloi letzorech hamoyed lai. It sounds like this whole halach is only negeya letzorech hamoyed. Zad gemar, who had in the filo shaloi letzorech hamoyed? Nami. Maybe this halach is true even shaloi letzorech hamoyed. So why did Rameir in the braisa say letzorech hamoyed? Na filo letzorech hamoyed mikmer in aschulei lai. There's a special chiddush in letzorech hamoyed. You would have thought letzorech hamoyed, maybe you can start it. Kamash malon, even letzorech hamoyed, you can only finish it. But maybe shaloi letzorech hamoyed is treated like letzorech hamoyed. So at the very least, you can't be pushed at the holy bayalo, because although it's true, you do see from the Brisa one thing, that the halacha of the Mishnah is true letzorech hamoyed, but it could be it's also true shaloi letzorech hamoyed. So again, we have a little more information in this second Tashma, because at the very least, we see the halacha of the Mishnah is true letzorech hamoyed, but we still don't know about shaloi letzorech hamoyed. Says the Gemara, we have a third Brisa, and the third Brisa knocks this out. Tashma, Rameir, Omer Rameir said, kom halach shaloi letzorech hamoyed, any halacha that's letzorech hamoyed, goimra, barba, awesome. You're allowed to finish on the 14th. If it's not letzorech hamoyed, awesome. You're not allowed to. Now, what does asr mean? If we're talking about goimra, then asr means you can't finish it. So if it's not letzorech hamoyed, you cannot finish it. You're allowed to do malacha, however, erev Pesach until chatzos, in a place where the minhag is to do malacha. So the Gemara really could very simply say that this braisa is checkmate, it's schwarz and weiss, it's rochel bitcha k'dana, it's mefurish what we're trying to say, right? We're talking about being goymer, and it says, kol malacha shu letzorech hamoyed goymer, v'she'enu letzorech hamoyed aser. And the Gemara is going to say that, but the Gemara says, I just have one raya from this braisa to the shayla. I actually have two rayas. Shmami, what do you see from here? B'makom shenagu in loynagu loy. Number one, you see the only time you're allowed to do malacha. And what type of malach is the Braisa talking about? Goimra is if it's in a makam shenagu to do malach. So you see, number one, loy nagu loy, if it's a makam where the minig is not to do malach, you're not allowed to do malach, even to be goimrit, shaloy letzorech hamoyed. That's the first raya. Veshmami no, letzorech hamoyed in, shaloy letzorech hamoyed loy. And it's also mefurish in the Braisa, right? This is a Yehuda va'oid lekra, a shtickle pun intended. It's mefurish, and it's also implied from the Braisa. So shmami no. That what? That the halach of the Mishnah, where a mayor said that even if you live in a mock and where the minig is not to do malach erev Pesach until Chatzos, it just means you can't start malach, but if you want to be goyim, you can. There's a very important caveat to that. And that is, that's true if it's letzorech hamoed. If it's shaloi letzorech hamoed, there were a bunch of brises and even the Mishnah that were unclear, but there was one brisa, as there often is, that's very, very clear. The Chachamim said, sholosh umnius, there are three fachs. Right, three craftsmen that they're allowed to do their thing on Erev Pesach before Chatzos, even if they live in a place really you're not supposed to. Who are these three people? Hachayotin is one. V'hasafarim, a barber, is two. V'hakoifsin, a launderer, is three. Rabbi Yehuda said, even people that make shoes. Tana, hachayotin, what's the reason that? We're makeup for a tailor. Shekein hedye toifek edarkoi. B'cholomoy. The reason is, cholomoy, you're also not allowed to do malacha. Now, the truth is, that although you're really not allowed to do malach on Chol HaMoed, but there are five exceptions to the rule. It's a real number. There are five times that you're allowed to do malacha. And because those five exceptions are broad exceptions, so it feels like you're allowed to do malacha. But really, you're not allowed to. And in fact, Tosfos in different places, in Shas and the Rishonim discuss whether the issa to do malacha on Chol HaMoed is an issa de Raisa or only an issa de Rabbanan. But there's a really strong tzad that not only you're not allowed to do malach on Chol HaMoed, but it's even an issa de Raisa. But there are certain times, as mentioned, that on Chol HaMoed, you're allowed to do malach. So one of the kulois, where one is allowed to do malach on Chol HaMoed, is a chayat. A tailor is allowed to do his thing on Chol HaMoed. Says the Braisa, that being that a tailor is allowed to do malach on Chol HaMoed, he's also allowed to do malach on Erev Pesach until Chatzos. What's the svara? Once we find that Chazal were mekel in this malacha, with the more chamor situation, which is Chol HaMoed, which may even be an issa d'oraisa, since certainly Erev Pesach until Chatzos, which is really only a makom shenagu, for sure it's going to be mutar saparim. What about a barber, v'hakoyfsin and a launderer, shekein abal medinas hayom, v'yoytzim mibeis v'asur, misaparim v'mechapsim, shechol HaMoed? Because there are times where someone is allowed to wash his clothing. There are times where you're allowed to take a haircut or a shave on Chol HaMoed. If somebody came in medinas hayom and he couldn't take care of it before Yontif, or he was in a beis asurim, so there are times where it's okay. Even someone that shoes is allowed to do his work. Why? Because the Oily Regalim were allowed to fix their shoes. So the Oily Regalim, we spoke a lot about their shoes in the beginning of the Masechta. So if they wanted, so if they took their shoes to be fixed on Chol HaMoed, that was something they were allowed to do. So again, you see the Ratzonim are allowed to work shoes on Chol HaMoed, so too Erev Pesach, even before Chatzos. How come the Tanakhama doesn't hold like Rabbi Yosef and Rabbi Yehuda? He only had the Chayot, the Sapra, and the Koivis. Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda said, even the Ratzon. L'chura, the same Svara that the Tanakhama has for those three, you have regarding the Ratzonim. What's the Svara? Because on Chol HaMoed, sometimes it's mutter. Okay, here too, Chol HaMoed is mutter for the Oily Regalim. So to Gemara, and I'll tell you what the Machlag is. Masav, the Maidim Tchilas Malach, Misayf Malach. Masav, the Ein Maidim Tchilas Malach, Misayf Malach. There's no halacha that says that if the Oily Regalim want to go on Pesach or Chol HaMoed, and have shoes made for them, that's something they'd be allowed to do. That's not something they're allowed to do. What they're allowed to do is they're allowed to fix their shoes. That doesn't mean now that we should be allowed to make shoes from scratch Erev Pesach up until Chatzos. I mean that the Machlokes Rabbi Yisrael and the Chacham was regarding making shoes, so it's for that reason you can't prove anything from the Eidur Golem, because what they're doing is the Soif Malach. They're just fixing their shoes, as opposed to Tchilas Malachas. You have no makar that Tchilas Malachas Mutar Chol HaMoed, therefore you can't learn anything from there. More halachos as it relates to Yontif. Meshivin Shaivachim Litarne Goylim Biyodal. Not Yontif, Erev Pesach. So the halach is that you're allowed to take a rooster, you're allowed to take a hen, and put the hen on top of eggs on Erev Pesach. So even though, again, we're discussing a place where the minig is not to do malach Erev Pesach before Chatzos, so there are certain malachas that maybe you're allowed to do. The Mishnah just mentioned a few, so now we have more. You're allowed to take a hen and put it on top of an egg so that it will brood on Yudal and Nisan. If one of your Tarnagoylas ran away, you're allowed to go chase it and bring it back in Mesa. And if your Tarnagoylas died, so you're allowed to put in a replacement. Another halacha. You're allowed to remove the Zevel from underneath the legs of the Behemoth on Erev Pesach. You can remove it, but you have to just remove it to the side. You're allowed to bring Kalim to a craftsman and take Kalim back from a craftsman. You're allowed to do this on your dalit, even though it's not something that's needed for yontifs. The Gemara is going to explain everything. First halacha of the Mishnah was, you're allowed to take a hen, put it on top of an egg on your dalit Nisan. Then the Mishnah said, Tarnagolos Shabarcha, if you had a Tarnagolos that was sitting there, Tarnagolos ran away, you're allowed to bring the Tarnagolos back. Once you told me you're allowed to go to Katchila and put a hand on top of an egg, so certainly it should be okay if it ran away to bring it back. You're right. The two lines in the Mishnah are discussing two different things. The first halach in the Mishnah is Meshivin Shaybach and Tarnagolos Yudalit. That's referring to Erev Pesach. Erev Pesach, up until Chatzos, is more kuladik. The Tarnagolos Shabarcha Machzir Noiselam Kaima, that's talking about Cholamoid. Cholamoid is more chomer, like we mentioned. Could be it's even awesome they rice it to do malacha. But specifically over here, what's the chumrah? There's no real malach here. It's tircha. And you're not allowed to do tircha. And being that it's more chomer, so it's for that reason, over there, you would only be allowed to return it, but you wouldn't be able to do it like katchila. Amar Rafuna. Rafuna said, lo yishanu, this halacha that says that you're allowed to take a tarnagolos shabarcha on cholamoid and bring it back, that's only true toich shloishal amirda. That's only if it's within 3 days from when it ran away. Dakati lo parach tzimra mina. Because it's still in a state of brooding. So if you bring it back, it's going to be able to continue doing what it was doing. So additionally, it has to be after 3 days from when it started brooding. The psei de la bay legami, because once it was brooding for 3 days, the eggs are going to get ruined, and as a result, there's a real issue of hafsid, so we allow you to do this in cholam. But if it's already more than 3 days from when it went away, the parach letzimramina, where it's not feeling it anymore, or it's within 3 days from when it started, where the eggs aren't going to get so ruined, if you don't continue doing it, then you're not allowed to bring it back. Rabbi Ami said, no, if it's within 3 days, still the halachas you're allowed to bring it. Michael, what's the machloikas? Yeah, within 3 days. Not within 3 days. Specifically, again, the machloikas is if an hen started brooding, it was within 3 days from when it started being on top of these eggs. It ran away. So one man says you can bring it back, the other man says you can't bring it back. It seems that the metzias is that if a hen stops brooding within 3 days, the eggs aren't going to be so ruined. So what's the shayla? The shayla is marasav lehesemru v'chashu lehesemru lechashashu umarasav lehesemru nami chashu. The machlokes is when the chachamim allowed you to go through this tircha to bring back the hen, why they allow you to do it? Presumably because you're losing out, because there's a hefsin. So if there's a hefsin meruba, for sure. What about if there's no hefsin meruba? All there is a hefsin mu'at. That was the machloikis. One man dama said, only for a hefsin meruba. So if it started doing its thing for 3 days, then it ran away, then you're allowed to bring it back. The other man dama said, even for a hefsin mu'at, garfin mitachas v'chul. The next halach of the Mishnah is you're allowed to shovel from underneath the animals on your Dalet Nisan all the zevel, ubemoyed and cholamoyed, misalkin litzdadim. You move it to the side. Tanu rabbanon hazevel shabachatzer. If you have zevel in your chatz, misalkin oizel litzdadim. You're allowed to move it to the side. Shabarefes, if it's in the stable, v'shabachatzer, or it's in a chatzer, maitzin oisoy. How do you read this? Hagu v'kasha. I'm in zevel shabachatz and misalkin oizel litzdadim. V'hadet tani v'shabarefes v'shabachatzer maitzin oizel ashba. It's a stira minei obey. First we said the zevel that's in the chatzner, you move to the side. And then we said if it's in the refes, or if it's in the chatzner, you now could you move it to the side? You can even throw it into the garbage. I'm Rabbi like Kasha, can be your dalid, can the chayla shamayit. The first halacha that says, when we say that you can bring it to the ashma, that's talking about in your dalid. There it's more kuladik. When it says you have to move it to the side, in a chatzner, that's called Rabbi. Rabbi says, hava chayla shamayit, really, they're both talking about chayla shamayit. Achi kamar, im nasa chatzner, karefness. What we're saying is like this. If you have zevel in the chatzner, and it's chalamayit, you move it to the side. What if your refness turned into, if your chatzah became a refes, meaning there's so much zevel there that you can't even move it to the side anymore, then, as a second option, maitzin oisel ashba, we allow you to bring it into the ashba. The last halach of the Mishnah was that maylichin kalin, you're allowed to bring kalin, umevian, and you're allowed to bring kalin back, mibesa uman, from an uman, this is someone that you gave your kalim to repair, even though you don't need this for chalamay, for yantiv, amar rapapa. Rapapa said, Baldikron Rava. Rava once asked us the following question. Tanan, we learned in the Mishnah, we are psachim non hamer beis, our Mishnah. You're allowed to bring back and forth kalim from an uman, even though you don't need it for yant, for a mini, ain mevi and kalim me beis uman. You're not allowed to bring kalim from a beis uman. If, however, you're worried about the kalim, you're afraid that if it sits by the uman too long, shem yiganvu, maybe it's going to be stolen. Then mefana lechatz acheres. You let it take it away from the uman, and don't bring it all the way home though. Like try to find a chatzer or somewhere you're going to leave it. Again, what's this all about? This is about tircha, right? That's pashim shah. There's no malacha really happening over here, but this is about tircha. We don't want you to be too much riach. Either way, we seem to have a steer over here. our Mishnah says, Moylichin umavin kelim ibeis ha'uman. Even if it's not Lithar Chamoy. We have a Bryson that says, Ein Mavian Kalem, Ibeis Uman. Now that Bryson didn't say anything about Moylichin. It only said Mavian. But we have a Stira. Because here it says, Moylichin umavian. And there it says, Ein Mavian. By the way, if Ein Mavian, for sure Ein Moylichin. The Gemara's going to say that soon. But we have a Stira. So the Gemara says, Umashanina, and so Rapapa and Rava asked us this question. And the Olam sat together. They tumbled, umeshanina, and they came back, and this was the answer. We're getting the hang of it. The kula is talking about, where is it? Mutter, that's an Erev Pesach. Erev Pesach, this is a malacha, but it's more kuladik. As opposed to chol shamayit, it's more chamit. Or you could say, maybe they're both talking about chol shamayit, but the kasha, kan be maminoi, kan be she'ene maminoi. Our Mishnah, that says, you know when you're allowed to bring it back? When you don't trust the guy. So then you're allowed to take it back. The Mishnah that says, I mean, the Mishnah says, then the halach is, that's talking about where you do trust. Right? The Gemara, and the Gemara says, Vatanya, and we have a brisa that supports this. You can take a jug from the people that have jugs, vakois. Meaning, you're allowed to take kelim that you need for yontif, but you're not allowed to take kelim that you don't need for yontif. Let's say this uman, it actually you'd be doing him a big favor if you picked up these kelim, even though you don't need them. But he needs to get paid, and he pasha needs the money so he can buy food nice and leischaray. Then you can pay. However, umenichayetzla, you still a katchila leave your. There. If you don't trust him, then you should leave it in a house close by. Still, don't be matriach so much as to take it home. If you're afraid that it may get stolen, then bring it home. But what do you see from this brisa? You see from this brisa that we take into consideration whether you trust the person, you don't trust him. You're afraid it's going to be stolen. You're not afraid it's going to be stolen. That's the teretz to the stira. When are you allowed to take it back? That's if you don't trust him. If you trust him, then you have to leave it there. It says the Gemara, Tiratz the Mevi'in, Malichin Kasha. You answer the stira as it relates to whether or not you're allowed to bring back. If you don't trust him, you can't. If you do, then you can't. If you trust him, then you cannot. Moylichin kasha. But we still have a stira as it relates to moylichin. Why? Because our Mishnah said, moylichin kelim umevian. Diktani, and what did the Bryson say? Ein mevian, v'kol shekein de ein moylichin. Why are you going to tell me ein moylichin? What's that about? Elamachvata, kiddushanina meikara. Must be, the teretz is, like we said earlier, that one Mishnah is talking about on Yudala Nisan, the Bryce is talking about where it was Chol HaMoed. In both instances, there's an Issa Malacha, but there are differences. Davar Ave, Tircha, Yudala Nisan is much more kuludik. So this last Gemara was interesting. We're going into the halachos of the Minhagim of Makim Shenagu Shaloi Lasis Malacha Erev Pesach Ad Chatzos. Really, the Pashtus is, even though we saw in today's daf, Rabbi Yochanan said it's Machlokes Ramei Rabbi Yehuda, but of course the Pashtus still remains that it was a question of Minig. But there was a whole Shulchan Aruch that governed this Minig. Minig Yisrael is a big deal. We said there's a Loi Sosa, the Rambam says, Shema Bini Musa Ravicha Val Tintish Teresimecha, a whole sugi, whether you make a brach on a Minig. A Minig isn't just a Minig. It's not something frivolous that people punk do, and if you don't want to do it, whatever. There's anything we take away from this Perek, it's Minig Yisrael Torah. It's a real deal. But at the same time, we have a whole Shulchan Aruch as it relates to what the Minog. Could you do Malacha the night before? Could you not do Malacha the night before? So much so that we're actually comparing and contrasting the laws of doing Malacha Erev Pesach, even up until Chatzos. Forget about after Chatzos. Even up until Chatzos with doing Malacha Chol HaMoed. Issa Malacha Chol HaMoed is a huge deal. And we're having a conversation that discusses the two together in the same breath. That's obviously a sign of what it means, Minig Yisrael Torah, and what this Isser of Makam Shenag, which Loi Lasis Malach Erev Pesach was. So just to go back to yesterday's daf and discuss two Ha'aris. So in yesterday's daf, the Gemara discussed a Braisa, part of which, by the way, is a Mishnah in Pirkei Avos, Asara Dvarim Nivru Be'erev Shabbos Bein Ashmashes. And we add the whole list of those things. And then the Gemara brought another Braisa. Shiva Dvarim, there are seven things that were created Kaidim Shenivra Ha'olam, before Bria Ha'olam, Elohim, Toira, V'tshuva, V'gan Eden, V'gehenim, V'kisei HaKovid, U'beis HaMikdash, U'shmoy Shal Mashiach. These are seven things that weren't just created, but they were created before Bereshis Bara Lekim Es HaShemayim V'Saretz. He's a Shiva Dvarim that were Nivru Kaidim Shinivra Oilam. The truth is that if you think about the list, some of them are very intuitive. The fact that Torah was created before the world was created. The Zohar HaKadosh says, Estakel by Raisa Ubara Alma, which of course is above our pay grade. But on the simplest level, what it means is that the world was created Bishvil HaTorah and Ikra Reishis, which means that just like an architect or a builder is going to commission an architect to draw up plans, to have a blueprint of what it is he wants to build. So if the world is here to facilitate the Torah, then obviously it's Stockholm by Raisa Ubaram. But the Torah on some level had to predate the Brias Olam. The fact that Gehenim and Gan Eden predated Brias Olam is also something that we can intuitively understand. The world was created for the Torah. It was created for Yisrael Shenikru Reishis that would one day be Mekabel the Torah, that would now be subject to the mitzvahs and the averos. Schar v'oynish, you do mitzvahs, Gan Eden, you do averos, Gehenim. So Gan Eden and Gehenim is included to a degree in what was necessary, not just for the world, but it's from the Shiva Dvarim that were Nivru Kodem Shenivra Olam. Tshuva, we're going to talk about that in a moment. That's also, we can understand why Tshuva would be necessary Kodem Shenivra Olam. Kisei HaKavod, that's very Tzarech Bir. Beis HaMikdash, I hear, also Tzarech Bir. And certainly Shmosh HaMashiach is something that we really have to understand. Why was that so critical that this is something that was created Kodem Shenivra Olam? I saw that the Iyun Yaakov, Rabbi Yaakov Reischer, the Shvus Yaakov, the Chayk Yaakov. So the Iyun Yaakov, it's not on this Gemara, but it's on Mesechtes Nedarim Daf Lamites. So this Gemara appears in two places, Psachim Nun Dalet, and it's also in Nedarim Daf Lamites. And in the Iyun Yaakov's Pirish on the Iyun Yaakov and Mesechtes Nedarim, so he on this Chazal, he says as follows. He said that the Mishnah says in the beginning, in the second parak of Mesechtes Chagiga, that it's awesome for a person to darshan, ein darshan, malafanim umalacher. Right, you're not allowed to darshan what happened before Brias Olam. So he says that he thinks that this chazal of Shiva Dvarim Nivru Kodem Shenivra Olam, being that we're dealing with what happened before Brias Olam, and chazal already said, you're not letting darshan what happened Kodem Shenivra Olam. So he says he's walking away from this chazal, he's not going to darshan anything. Now, Pashup Shat in Ein Darshan, what happened before Brias Olam is obvious. We can't talk about it. Ein Darshan. But it's obvious what the chazal means. But the Iyun Yaakov said that L'maisa were disgusting Kodem Shenivra Olam, and Chazal said Ein Darshan about Kodem Shenivra Olam, and as a result, it's not something that he's going to talk about. But if you look in the Sfarim HaKadoshim, the Sfarim talk a lot about this Chazal. So just two ha'oras as it relates to number one, Shmosh al Mashiach, and number two, Tshuva. The Mabit, in his classic work, Beis Alekim, the Mabit was a contemporary of the Beis Yosef and the Arizal. He was part of that Chavraya Kedisha. So it is Mabit in his Shari Yesoidis, Perik Nun Beis, he discusses the idea that Shmosh HaMashiach was something that was created Kodem Brias Olam. But he focuses specifically on Shmosh HaMashiach. He says the fact that Mashiach would be one of the seven things that were created Kodem Shenivra Olam, he says that I hear. Mashiach is very important, and it's in the list of seven things that was so important that they had to be there before Bereshis Bara Elokim Es HaShemayim V'Saretz. But what does it mean, Shmosh HaMashiach? Says the Mabit. V'chein roim es inyan Shmosh HaMashiach. Ki Shmoy, the name of Mashiach, mipinu loymosh v'loyomosh, is something that Yidden never stop talking about, and it's something that Yidden are never going to stop talking about. Ki b'chol dar v'dar mitzapim b'yosai. Because every single generation has been waiting for Mashiach. U'bechol yoin, and we believe that any day Mashiach can come in b'koy le'sishmo, as long as we're going to listen. V'gamim yismameya, anu mechakim lo'i b'chol zman. Says the Mabit, u'bezeh betochen. With this betochen, this faith that Yidden have in the coming of Mashiach, anachnu oivrim tzar v'tzoros agolius v'ashibudim ahoyven aleinu. It was that gave us the koyach. It gave the Yidden the koyach to make it through the golus. It's the betochen in Mashiach. It's the fact that we say ani mamim b'muna shalema b'bias haMashiach, and that we talk about Mashiach. V'zui hakavono. He said that's the tifkeit. Mashe eskima machsheves chachmasi yisbarach koydim b'riyas oylam livroi shmoish al Mashiach. You know why David they created Shmosh HaMashiach? Because David understood, without Shmosh HaMashiach, without the name of Mashiach, without talking about Mashiach, can't have a world. Because there's going to be a Golos, and when there's going to be a Golos, it's going to be Tzoris, and it's going to be not Shayach, and it's going to be very, very difficult to survive. But you know what tool the Yidden are going to have to be able to survive? It's going to be Shmosh on Mashiach. Mashiach's going to come at the end of days. Mashiach comes after, not before. But it's Shmosh on Mashiach that we need right now. Mashiach's going to come whenever Mashiach's going to come. But the point is that the idea of Mashiach, the concept of Mashiach, just that musig, the betochen that the Yid has, that he knows at any moment, the name of Mashiach is what helped us. That's the idea of Bria Shamay. Because the name of Mashiach, number one, helped us through the Golos. It continues to help us through the Golos. And the name of Mashiach is ultimately what's going to bring the Geula. So it's not Mashiach that was created. Mashiach could be created later. Mashiach didn't come yet. Mashiach will come whenever he comes. We don't need Mashiach now. You know, we need Mashiach now. We want Mashiach now, right? But the point is that we need to talk about Mashiach now. That's the point. And that's the yesod of Shemosh on Mashiach. Because without talking about Mashiach, you're not going to have Mashiach. Without talking about Mashiach, Klal Yisrael can have the betoch and not going to be able to make it through the goals. And that's the oimik, said the Mabit. That's the tifkai of Shemosh on Mashiach. That's the first R. Sure, we'll get back to it. The second R is the Gemara mentioned Tshuva. So this is an idea, obviously, that comes up a lot. We talk about it a lot. But the Ein Beis Medrash B'loi Chiddush, I saw recently a Dover Nifla. And this is something that's related to what we're talking about right now. It's something that's related to Masechtas Pesachim. It's something that's related to Haggadah Shel Pesach. It's something that's related to the basic emunah of being a Yid. We know that there's so many mitzvahs that we have that are Zeichel Yetzias Mitzrayim. Tefillin, Zeichel Yetzias Mitzrayim. Kriyashma, Zeichel Yetzias Mitzrayim. It's a theme that literally is the most overarching idea that we have in Torah and mitzvahs is you make kiddush, it's Zeichel Yetzias Mitzrayim. Yontiv, Zeichel Yetzias Mitzrayim. Everything is Zeichel Yetzias Mitzrayim. Why is it so important? We know the Rabban in the Parshas Bo. We spoke about it not so long ago, earlier in the Masechta, that Yetzias Mitzrayim was the event of Amuna, and when we remember and internalize Yetzias Mitzrayim, it gives us the Amuna that we need in order to serve Hashem. So Pasha, Yetzias Mitzrayim is so critical for our Avodas Hashem because we rely on it for Amuna. That's where we get Amuna from. So therefore, we always have to remember Yetzias Mitzrayim. The Pasuk says, L'man Tizkor is Yoyim Tzeischa Meretz Mitzrayim Kol Yom every single day. But it's something that we always have to have. Rabbi Tzadik HaKoyen, in his pre-tzadik, in Parshas Vaschanon, it's Ois Hei, says a Dover Nifla. He says, I'm going to tell you a different shot in why, and a pnimius atayra, of why it's so important to remember Mitzrayim. He says, the reason is because it's impossible for a Yid not to fall. And he says, you know what happens when a Yid falls? He feels very distant from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And when he feels distant from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he can come to a place of Yish, where he feels, I'm no Shaychis, you know, maybe in the next Gilgal. But obviously, this is not working out exactly the way it had been mapped out for me, and what am I supposed to do? And you start feeling like your tefillah is not worth anything, and your Torah is not worth anything, and your chesed is not worth anything, and you start having very, very negative thoughts, and it can distance a person even farther and farther away from Hashem. But said Rav Tzadik HaKoyen, the emes is, it's not true. Because it doesn't matter how far a person falls. At the end of the day, he has a mitzvah, he has an ability to do tshuva. And it's true, to do tshuva is not easy. The Rambam and Hilchas Tshuva, you go through it. You can learn the Rambam and Hilchas Tshuva like you learn the Rambam and Hilchas Malva V'Loiva. Like you learn the Rambam and Hilchas Chometz Matzah. But at the same time, that's just to clean up your entire balance sheet. And that's just to cross the T's and dot the I's. But to do Tshuva, and to be a new person, for a person to put himself in a matziv, where he understands that every mitzvah that I do is going to matter, and to turn your life around, that's something you can do instantly. Like Rabbeinu Yoina says in his Yisrael, that tshuva, a person can wake up in the morning and he can decide, I'm a new person. He can literally take his pass, hit delete, and he can start all over again. That's a power that every single Yid has. And says Rabbi Tzadik, you know how we know a Yid can do that? No matter how low he fell, he can creep himself out in a second. Yetzias Mitzrayim. Because when the Yidden were Mitzrayim, they were in the Memtesh Shari Tumah. They were so low that when they came to the Yam Suf, the Chazal say that the Sarish Yam said, I don't know, to me, Allah the wife, they have a desire about, why are they drowning and they're somehow meriting a miracle? There was no distinction. Sarish Yam couldn't make any sense of it. He said, it doesn't make any sense. Allah the wife, they have a desire about, Allah the wife, they have a desire. The Yidden had fallen to the point where they were literally behaving like the people of the lowest civilization of the world at the time. Yet, in a second, the Abishah took the Yidden out of Mitzrayim, and in 49 days, he marched them to Har Sinai, where they were literally able to stand at the foot of the mountain. And they were zeicha to unbelievable miracles and unbelievable levels of Nevuah. They went from the Shar Memtes all the way to the level of Nevuah. Where did that happen? By Yitzias Mitzrayim. So says Rav Tzadik, you see from Yitzias Mitzrayim that no matter how low a Yid falls, he's able to creep himself back. So says Rav Tzadik, that's why we have a mitzvah every single day of L'man Tizkor. You have to remember Yitzias Mitzrayim. You know why it's so critical to remember Yitzias Mitzrayim? You know what you have to remember? You have to remember Yid has to remind himself every single day. It's Rav Tzadik talking. Every single day Yid has to remind himself that it doesn't matter how low he falls, it doesn't matter what his matzav is, it doesn't matter what the situation is. He always has the ability to pick himself up and he can reach all the levels of Kedusha. Where did we see that? We saw that by Yetzias Mitzrayim. And that's why it's so important to remember again and again and again Yetzias Mitzrayim. And we have so many mitzvahs, says Rav Tzadik. It's all to remind us of Yetzias Mitzrayim. The Pasha of Pshat, he says, is the Ramban in Parshas Boy. He quotes the Ramban. There's no question that's the Pasha of the Pshat. But he says at the same time, if you want to understand it slightly, I'll pick up all. You want to understand it a little bit on the level of Pnimiyas HaTorah, it's because the Yid has to constantly remind himself that it doesn't matter where he is right now in Ruchnias. In 1 second, he can creep himself out. And what's Exhibit A for that? It's Yetzias Mitzrayim. And that's why a Yid has to constantly remind himself of Yetzias Mitzrayim. Dvarim niflam ad l'moed b'inyan ha-tshuva. So it's interesting. This piece is in Parshas Sfas Chanon. It's Ois He. A few Oisias earlier, in Ois Gimel, we mentioned this once fleetingly. Rav Tzadik Osen talks about tshuva. And he says something fascinating. He says the Moshe Rabbeinu we know reached the Shar Memtes of Kedusha. Moshe Rabbeinu reached the Shar Memtes of Bina. But he couldn't reach the Shar Nun. There was a little bit, a tiny, tiny little bit that Moshe Rabbeinu was missing. So said Rav Tzadik, why? What's Pshat? Moshe Rabbeinu is the epitome of Shleimus. So if Moshe Rabbeinu was Shleimus, why was it that Moshe Rabbeinu wasn't able to reach the Shar Nun? So Rav Tzadik says a Dover Nifla, V'ruin Advarim L'mish Amram. He says the reason is because the Shar Nun is for Bali Tshuva. Chazal say, "B'makim shabali tshuvim oimdim ein tzadikin gemurim yicholim lamoid." Moshe Rabbeinu was a tzadik gomer, and he was able to reach the highest level, the highest madrega of kedusha that a tzadik gomer is able to reach. However, there's a shar that even the tzadik gomer can't reach. That's miyuchad for someone that's higher than the. Who's higher than the tzadik gomer? Bal tshuva is higher than the tzadik gomer. That's b'makim shabali tshuvim oimdim, and that shar nun is miyuchad for who? It's dafka. The context, incidentally, the Rav Tzadik says this, and it's the beginning of Parshas Vaschanan al Hashem be'isa hilemer, and Moshe Rabbeinu davened, and his tefillas weren't answered. And says Rav Tzadik, the reason Moshe Rabbeinu's tefillas weren't answered, right? 515 tefillas, k'minyan vaschanan to try to enter Eretz Yisrael, and l'maisa Moshe Rabbeinu wasn't allowed to enter Eretz Yisrael. So he says, how's it possible? 515 tefillas he wasn't answered. So he says, it's a Chazal. Chazal say that the Eibishter created Shari Tfilo, right? The Shari Tfilo. And the Shari Tfilo, sometimes they're open and sometimes they're closed. And the Shari Tfilo can be closed even for Moshe Rabbeinu. Even for someone that's like Moshe Rabbeinu, the Shari Tfilo are closed. So it's a beautiful shtickle, Ayin Sham. But Toich Tvar and Pri Tzadik says Rav Tzadik that had Moshe Rabbeinu had the Koyach of Bal Tshuva, his tefillos would have been answered. Because the sharim of tshuva are always open. And out the shar of tshuva, he would have been allowed in. And that's the context over there. But that's what he says. Moshe Rabbeinu's vaschanan al Hashem be'isa hilemer wasn't answered in the affirmative. And the reason is because he was a tzadik gomer. But the tzadik gomer is only the shar memtes. It's not the shar nun. He throws in a shtickle kabbalah. It's tvarim neflam. It's a pre tzadik. That's Ois Gimel. The second one we mentioned was Ois Hei. So I was just thinking just one hergish. And that is, it's interesting that this chazal of Shiva Dvarim Nivru Koidim Shenivroil doesn't really all connect, but it's me inyan le'inyan ba'is le'inyan. This chazal of Shiva Dvarim Shenivru Koidim Shenivro, actually Nivro Oilam, is also mentioned in Pirkei d'Rabbi Eliezer. Not only is it mentioned in Pirkei d'Rabbi Eliezer, but it's Pirkei d'Rabbi Eliezer, Perek Shlishi. That's towards the beginning of Pirkei Rabbi Eliezer. We went through Perek Rishon and Perek Sheni Be'iyun, by Daf Beis, by the Siyumim, v'chulu. We've gone through it many times. This is Perek Shlishi. Listen to how Perek Shlishi starts. Rabbi Eliezer ben Hyrcanus Pasach. So after we learned the story of Rabbi Eliezer ben Hyrcanus, Pasach, he began and he said, Mi yamalu gvuras Hashem, uchmi yashmiya kol tehilasoi. V'chiyesh adam ba'olam shu yachal amalu gvuraysev shal HaKadosh Baruch Hu, oi lashmiya kol tehilasoi, afilu malachi asharis eini yuchaylam lesapra, elam miksas gvuraysev. V'yesh lanu lidrash, v'masha asa, v'chul. Either way, said Rabbi Eliezer, Mi yamalu gvuras Hashem, yashmi kol tehilasoi. I'm going to start from the beginning. And you know what the beginning of being a Malik Vurus Hashem of Rabbi Eliezer was? Bereshis Bar Lekim Es Hashemayim V'Saaretz? No. Shiva Dvarim Nivru Achnoi Nivra Olam V'Elohein Toira V'Gehenim V'Ganedin V'Kisei HaKavid U'Beis HaMikdosh U'Tshuva U'Shvoi Shal Mashiach. So when I learned this Perkut Rabbi Eliezer, my first heritage was Tshuva. Oh, it's Gevaldis, Rabbi Eliezer HaGadol. Rabbi Eliezer HaGadol, the segue is first of all, it's beautiful. But Rabbi Eliezer HaGadol, 28 years old, he didn't even know Kriya Shema. Miu Kol Chachmi Yisrael B'Kaf Maznayim. Rabbi Eliezer Ben Hyrcanus on the other side, he's Machir everybody. Because Rabbi Eliezer HaGadol has the Koyach of Tshuva. He didn't learn Torah for 28 years. And now all of a sudden he's a Chayzer B'Tshuva. And look at, he understood that Tshuva is not just an idea, but it's one of the principles that was Nivra, Koydim Shenivra Olam. But then I had a Machshav HaShnia. It hit me. There's a psikta in Parash Torah. It's also a Medrash Rabbah in Parashas Chukas. When Moshe Rabbeinu went up to Shemayim, Shama Koilish Shal Hakadosh Baruch Hu Shal Oisik BeParishas Paraduma. Moshe Rabbeinu heard Koilish Shal Hakadosh Baruch Hu, and he was Oisik BeParishas Paraduma. VaOmer, and he said like this: Halacha B'Shem Amr. Rabbi Eliezer Omer. Rabbi Eliezer says, Eglo Bash Nasa Upara Bash. He was saying over the halachas of Paraduma, and he said over Torah from Rabbi Eliezer. I'm at Lefanu Rabbeinu Shalom. So Moshe Rabbeinu heard this, so he turns to the Eved and he says, He Ratzayin Sheyetsa Mechalatzay. A tefila of Moshe Rabbeinu that Rabbi Eliezer should be one of my Amalei. He told him Chayechot she yetsim mechalotzecha. Shenemar v'shemo echad Eliezer. This is obviously a medrash plia, but at the same time a medrash that Moshe Rabbeinu hears Rabbi Eliezer, and Moshe Rabbeinu says he rotzon she yetsim mechalotzei. He wants Rabbi Eliezer should come. He should be one of his descendants. There's one other Tana that I can recall right now where you find a similar idea. The Gemara Masechtas Menachos. B'shalach shalom Moshe l'amarim. Moshe Rabbeinu went up to Shemayim. Menachos daf chav tes amid beis. Matzel HaKadosh Baruch Hu she'yoshev v'koyshev k'sarim ba'osias. He saw that the Eibishnu was sitting down and he was putting crowns on top of the letters of the Torah. Amar l'fanav Ribbono shel Olam, mi ma'akev al yotcha? Why are you doing this? Amar lo, he told him, Adam echad yesha asad liyos b'soiv kamedoyers. V'akiva ben Yosef Shemay she'asad lidresh al kol kutz v'kutz tilin tilin shel halachas. Because there's going to be someone, his name is Akiva ben Yosef, and one day he's going to darshan halachas. There's going to be Torah that's going to be knocking on this. I'm the front of I want to see him. And then we have the whole story, says the Gemara, when Moshe Rabbeinu saw Rabbi Akiva, Amal Afan Rabbi Yishalayim, Oyla, Rabbi Yishalayim, Yesh Lecha Adam Kazeh, you have someone like Akiva ben Yosef, that the noise and Torah al-Yadai, why are you giving the Torah by me? Amal Yishalayim, Kach Ola Lefana ben Machshava. And then he said, I want to see what his schar is going to be. So I'm being tortured by the Romans. Zu Torah vizu schar, Shtoik, Kach Ola Lefana ben Machshava. Rabbi Moshe Rabbeinu heard Torah from Rabbi Eliezer, and he was so nisragish, he was so taken aback from the Torah of Rabbi Eliezer. He rotzen sheyetzim mechalotzai. It was like a zakinet zayfrim. He wants Rabbi Eliezer. I want Rabbi Eliezer. I need Rabbi Eliezer. Moshe Rabbeinu goes up to Shemayim. He heard about Rabbi Akiva. Why are you giving Torah through me? Rabbi Akiva is bigger than me. Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Akiva, two tannoim that Moshe Rabbeinu. Again, we can't say this because we're talking about Moshe Rabbeinu. These are midrashim that we don't really understand. These are all above our pay grade. But Moshe Rabbeinu hears Rabbi Eliezer. He's like, wow. He wrote and she ate some. Rabbi Akiva, again, the same reaction. Wow. Rabbi Akiva, why are you giving the Torah through me? Give the Torah through Rabbi Akiva. What Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Akiva have over Moshe Rabbeinu? Why would Moshe Rabbeinu have been the spall for Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Akiva? You know what they had? They had the Koyach of Tshuva. Rabbi Eliezer was 28 years old. He didn't know Kriya Shema yet. And he became the great Rabbi Eliezer ben Hyrcanus. Rabbi Akiva was 40 years old. Rabbi Akiva wasn't just an Am Haaretz when he was 40. We just learned the Gemara together. Rabbi Akiva said, "Kshisi amaretz amartim yitin li tamud chacham v'anashchenu kichamar." One of the Am Haaretz that were choshen and shlichas domim. The Torah that we spoke out when we learned Pesachim, daf mem tes amid beis. Not just an Am Haaretz; it's a deeper understanding of where Rabbi Akiva came from and where Rabbi Akiva ended. It's unbelievable. Kshisi amaretz, he started like that and then he ended up. But the point is that Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Akiva had something. They had the midah of tshuva. They had the sharnun. Moshe Rabbeinu, with all his greatness, but he was only able to reach the Shar Memtes. He was only able to reach the Shar Memtes. What didn't he have? He didn't have the Madrega of Tshuva. That's why when Moshe Rabbeinu hears Rabbi Eliezer, he says, oh, halavai, yiratzen sheyetze mechalatzai. That's when he hears Rabbi Akiva, he says, why give me the Torah through me? Give it to Rabbi. What do you mean? You're Moshe Rabbeinu. He says, yeah, it's true. But Moshe Rabbeinu was limited. Because Moshe Rabbeinu had the Madrega of a Tzad Gomer. And as great a Madrega as a Tzad Gomer has, but he's limited. And he's limited by virtue of the fact that he can only get up to the maximum of what a Tzad Gomer can get up to, and that's the Shar Memtes. Oh, but the Shar Nun, that's Miyuchid. That's a place that only a Baal Tshuva can stand. Rabbi Eliezer ben Hyrcanus, the greatest Tana of all time, Rabbi Akiva, the great Rabbi Akiva, they had a shaykhis to that shah. Moshe Rabbeinu didn't have a shaykhis to that shah. And that's why Moshe Rabbeinu was the spyless over who? Of Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Agad, and Rabbi Akiva. Just to put it all together, we mentioned two Rab Tzadiks. Rab Tzadik HaKoyen in his Sefer Tzidkas HaTzadik. And this is in Ois Kuf Yud Aleph. So he talks about Mashiach, specifically Ikvas of the Mashiach. So he says, "Be'ikvas of the Mashiach, Mashiach is going to come in a generation where people are very, very, they're low and they're shaku and chet, and they're really not behaving the way they're supposed to behave. However, the Eibush is going to come, and when that dor does tshuva, that's when Mashiach's going to come." He said, the pasuk says, "V'shafta ad Hashem elokecha v'shamata b'koyloi." Two psukim later, "Im yin nidachacha b'kteh Hashemai misham yikabetzcha u'misham yikochecha." Said Rav Tzadik HaKoyen, "Im yin nidachacha b'kteh Hashemayim," when the Yidden are going to be nidachacha b'kteh Hashemayim, they're going to be so far removed. Nidachacha means you're removed. You're going to be so far from the Eibush that it's going to be literally b'kteh Hashemayim. That generation, when it's going to have a hira tshuva of v'shafta ad Hashem elokecha, so that generation is going to be able to bring Mashiach. And he says, Dvarim the flub. That's the tifkat of Mashiach ben David. David is Hekim Ula Shal Tshuva, Kiyodua. But that's the tifkat of Mashiach coming. Dafki says, that's what Chazal meant when they said, Ein Ben David Ba, Ela B'darshan Kulei Zakai, Oi, B'darshan Kulei Chayiv. What does it mean? The worst generation ever? No, because the Darshan Kulei Chayiv is actually a unique position to be able to do tshuva and to be able to turn it around. So just one punchline, and we're going to end with this, is we learned the Gemara on Daf Nun, just bringing it all together. We learned the Gemara on Daf Nun. The Gemara said that Rav Shulman Levi had a son who was chalash, out of body experience, and he saw things on the other side, and he came back and his father asked him, what did you see? So he told him, Olam Hafachro, you see, I saw a Fakir Develt. You know what I saw? I saw Yoinim Lamata, said Rav Tzadik HaKoyen, what's the Pnimius HaTorah of that line? I saw El Yoinim Lamata V'Tachtoinim Lamailo. He says, we know there's something called Yeridus HaDoiris. U'ba'oimam Azeh HaDoiris Holchim U'miskatnim. There's a Yeridus HaDoiris. That's true. Every generation gets schwacher and schwacher. The Nesioinis and the Mount of Yidden that are removed from the Eibishta and Rachman Alibabai. In that world, we've never been farther away from Hashem. It's Pashad. Think back to the The Yurida is fantastic. But at the same time, said Rav Tzadik HaKoyen, you know what that means? That means that the later generations have a unique ability to bring Mashiach. And the reason is because they could do tshuva. And being that they're so shvach, because of the Yurida and the Dar, their tshuva is going to trigger such an aliyah that the manifestation of b'makom shabali tshuvim oim demeim tzadik and gemurim chayim lamay is going to be gevald. So said Rav Tzadik HaKoyen, yeah, we always think of generations in terms of Yerida Sadiris. Right, we look at our daughter, we say, ah, what a terrible, we bemoan the generation. We have this problem, we have that problem. Said Rav Tzadik, that's looking at the glass half empty. Really, you're supposed to look at the glass half full. If we live in such a shvach ador, you know what that means? This is the door of Ikfas in the Mashiach. This is the door that can bring Mashiach. Because Mashiach's going to come in Yin Nidachacha B'Kseh Hashemayim. And there's never been a generation where it's been more true that in Yin Nidachacha B'Kseh Hashemayim. So if this generation is so removed, it's so B'Kseh Hashemayim, you know what that means? That means this is precisely the door that has a Koyach of Tshuva that will be Marash Olamis into the Shar Nun that it's going to bring Mashiach. Said Rav Tzadik, that's what Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi's son saw. He said, Olam Hafich Ro Yisi. You know what I saw in that door? El Yoidim Lamata V'Tachtoy Lamamayla. I saw in, on the other side, that the tachtoinen, the shvachar adoiris, the generations of Yeridus adoiris, are lemailo. These generations are more koiches than the previous generations. The elyoinim alamato. At the end of the day, they didn't have the same nisyonis that we have. And as a result, they don't have the same koyach. It's davka the tachtoinim that have such ridiculous nisyonis. It's the tachtoinim that are lemailo. So that's the pnimius. The pnimius was that ein ben David ba, ela bedarsha kulei chayiv. A dar that's kulei chayiv, that's so vulnerable, that is so overwhelmed by temptation. It's davka this generation. But either way, just to bring together the Gemara and Dachmem Tesam Abeis with Rabbi Akiva, Kshisi Amoritz, Amarti Mitli, Tamachochim, Anashchenu, Kechamar, the Gemara of Dafnun Amid Aleph, the Gemara of Olam Hafech Ro'isi El Yoyna Lamata, V'tachtena Lamaylo, the Gemara of Dafnun Dalet Amid Aleph, Shiva Dvarim that were created before Briyas Olam, Shmoysa Mashiach, and Tshuva, just a little bit of raid as it relates to some of the Divrei Agada that we learned this week.